Rack your look for spring at Nordstrom Rack and save up to 60% on brands you love. Rag & Bone, Vince, Marc Jacobs, Adidas, Joe's, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Score new dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and sunglasses, plus updates for the family and home. Get your spring on for less, up to 60% less, today at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with 12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. With two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with 12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas, play from anywhere. Visit circasports.com for details.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, along with the Sports Map Radio Network. I'm joined, as always, by Armani Buckets, Brandon Deutsch, and Mr. Jake Dicker. How are you guys doing on this wonderful Friday?
Man, it is a beautiful Friday wherever you are, Vegas, Hawaii, nationally, LA. It's beautiful everywhere just because it's Friday. It's the weekend, right? TGIF.
Yeah, it was my first time going to an Angels game in probably a decade, and the ticket prices were amazing. The quality of the game,
I mean, you saw Rengifo. At least he can hit. No one else in the lineup can hit.
It was depressing, honestly.
Well, Ohtani can't hit anymore. It's like a serious issue.
And every time he hit a fly ball anywhere, the whole building would erupt.
Well, because he's a superstar.
And that was the only time, though, that they made any noise.
How crazy is it to see a guy that good at pitching, though? Have you seen his movement on his slider and his splitter? Ridiculous. Oh, my gosh. He's insane. He's the best pitcher in the American League this year. Sorry, Shane McClanahan.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've said it all. Beautiful weather wherever you are and depressing times at the Angels game.
I mean, this is no surprise. 15, 14 games under. I mean, just get used to it.
I mean, it's a great time to be a Dodger fan.
I'm joking. I think the Dodgers are playing really, really good.
I mean, Colorado 11-0. I mean, that 13-0.
That's in Coors. Tyler Anderson dominated in Coors Field. That's a tough place to pitch.
Yeah, I've been kind of vocal about how I think Tyler Anderson's having a great year, but I don't love the idea of him in high leverage situations in the playoffs.
And he said a better second half so far than Gonsolin.
That's my point. He keeps going out there and making me a believer again.
I know we're gonna get into headlines, but he was great in Pittsburgh before he got traded. Like, he was great. He just played on Pittsburgh, so no one really cared about him. You know.
Well, nobody's probably even looking at him, right?
Yeah. I mean, the Pirates were, you know, they were still in their rebuild. Now they're finally getting a little bit better.
Yeah. Well, speaking of headlines, let's go to the headlines brought to you by Circa Sports. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor Pro Football Contests are back with 12 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit circasports.com for details. Let's do this, guys. DK Metcalf signed a 3-year, $70 million contract extension. Talk about getting paid with the Seahawks. That includes a $30 million bonus, guys. Was this a good move by the Seattle Seahawks, and is this setting a precedent for Deebo Samuel's contract agreement in the upcoming weeks?
I think it does. Again, even though, I know we discussed this yesterday, even though Jimmy Garoppolo's contract only affects the cap this season, and they really could extend Deebo because in the coming seasons they're not going to have Garoppolo on the team, obviously. I think they will get a deal done. Again, it's the 49ers are going to be negotiating from the stance that, hey, you don't want to be a wide back as much anymore. So do you want to get paid like a wide receiver or both positions? Because if you want to get paid like both positions, you're going to need to play the wide back still, right? So they're going to definitely have those preliminary discussions right now. And he's been there. He's, you know, Debo, he could just sit out, you know, but he's there. He's at training camp. I know he's not participating, but he's there supporting his team, being there, and he just won't put his body on the line until he gets the contract done. And that's exactly what DK did. I think this is a great move by the Seahawks. I think DK's talent wise and physicality, the best receiver in the NFL. If we talk about like physicality and how big he is and what a matchup problem is, the problem is we haven't seen DK's potential because Russell Wilson's 5'10", right, and couldn't see over the offensive lineman half the time. And then also now he has Drew Lock and Geno Smith. So it's kind of like a win for DK and a loss for DK because he doesn't have a good quarterback. Maybe next year if they get like Bryce Young or, you know, a CJ Stroud, like then we'll see DK's potential. But this is one of the only guys in the league you just throw it up to, and he's got the speed, the physicality. I'm really high on Metcalf, and I know people are like Lockett's their number one. No shot. Lockett's not even close to being as talented as DK Metcalf.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of this affecting Debo's contract, I'm not sure. I mean, I think they were going to get a deal done either way. I don't know if this is necessarily going to speed things up.
But yeah.
It does set the market for if Debo wants to be paid like a top wide receiver, this kind of is what they'll build off of, what they'll go off of. I mean, it makes sense for DK to get paid, right? I mean, as you said, he's a physical specimen. He can do everything.
Jeez. And remember, he was in the Olympic trials showing off his speed.
Yeah, he's quick as can be. I mean, he's one of the fastest receivers in the NFL.
One of the best athletes in the world.
Yeah, he's insane. But it makes sense for both sides, I think. I think Seattle doesn't have much going for them right now, so I think it makes sense to keep him around. If you want to trade him at some point, but I don't think that there was any reason for Seattle not to get a deal done here, and, you know, good for DK, get paid.
Yeah, 24 years old, like you guys just mentioned, one of the best athletes in the world, like legitimately.
Yeah.
This guy reminds me of, I guess, a young Julio Jones in the way that he's just built his just athletic prowess. But I want to ask you, Brandon, what do you think Debo's number is going to be like now?
See, it's interesting because DK, he signed the 3-year, right? And it's not a 5-year, it's not a 4-year, it's a 3-year, like get the bag and maybe prove himself again at 26, 27 if he doesn't want to enter free agency. I think it's going to be a little similar to Debo. You know, he's definitely had his ups and downs with the front office of the 49ers. I don't think he signs for more than 3 or 4 years. I really think he'll want to test free agency again at a young age, kind of see what happens over the next couple of years, but he's going to get paid more than DK for sure. I think it's like we're going on the sense maybe 4 years, $100 million, or like 4 years, $110 million with the guaranteed money. Because think about it, he was a one-man team last year. And again, it's going to come down to, will he want those wide back position? Does he want to play that? Does he want to go on the jet sweeps? Does he want to play a running back and be a part of the system? Or does he just want to simply be a wide receiver? Because now he's going to be able to do a lot on the receiving end because Jimmy Garoppolo couldn't throw over 20 yards. Now you got Trey Lance, who actually has a good arm, and he can be set up in multiple positions of down the field vertical approach. So I think it's around $110 million, 4 years probably.
Well, I mean, either way, I feel like he's gonna get paid.
Well, yeah, talent-wise, yeah. He's there. But remember, Debo, it's like I said yesterday, Debo Samuel is still a Pro Bowler on other teams, but he's not Debo Samuel unless he's on the 49ers. Kyle Shanahan makes him the best receiver, pound for pound, maybe in the NFL. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, speaking of winners, the Dodgers went to Coors Field and dominated the Rockies, winning 13-0. Tyler Anderson yet again pitched a gem, going 7 innings pitched with no walks. Gavin Lux continued his hot streak, going 3-for-5 to raise his batting average to 307.307. As we are starting to finally see Gavin Lux's true potential, would you guys be mad if he was included in any deal for Juan Soto?
I think it depends what the deal looks like. I wouldn't be happy about it, right? I mean, Andrew Friedman, over the last 4 or 5 years, every time he's made a big trade at the deadline, has found a way not to... Every prospect he's given up has not developed in the way that the organization has thought they were going to, right? So 2017, they traded for Yu Darvish. The big prospect in that deal is Yusniel Diaz, who is now 25 years old, sitting in AAA with the Orioles and just not getting it done. In 2018, or sorry, that was the Machado trade. 2017 was Yu Darvish, the big prospect in that deal was Willie Calhoun, who's been like up and down with the Rangers for the last couple of years. It has streaks where he looks like he's figuring it out, and just then has streaks where he couldn't hit water, he fell out of a boat. So I feel like Friedman has a way to not give up these established guys, and has a way to get organizations to take chances on more prospects. It depends who they're. I mean, if it's a Juan Soto deal, I find it very hard to keep Gavin Lux, right? I mean, they're gonna ask for major league talent. They're gonna ask for minor league talent, for prospects. And Gavin Lux is kind of in that weird range where he's not a prospect anymore, but he's not necessarily an established guy in the league. Like, you don't know. Like, I don't know exactly what you're going to get from Gavin Lux next year.
I do. It wouldn't surprise me if Gavin Lux's hit tool is like 70, bro.
Right, but the prospect that we saw from Gavin Lux was a guy who was going to hit 32 home runs every year.
I mean, he doesn't need to. Yeah, the power's not there, but I don't care about power if you're hitting 315. This guy's been dominating this year. I personally think Dave Roberts and the Dodgers are disrespecting him by batting him. Now he's finally moved up to like 6. What the heck are you doing batting Muncy in front of him most of the year? Like, Muncy couldn't hit air. You know, he can't hit anything. Like you said, water if it fell out of a boat. Muncy needs to be in AAA. But whatever. They don't want to. They think he's a team guy. Whatever. I don't like Max Muncy. I don't think he's a good defender either. So I think he should be in AAA. But Gavin Lux, I would be hesitant to include him in a Juan Soto trade. I think you kind of need to, right? Because it's Juan Soto. Jake brings up a good point. But I would try and keep him. I'd rather give up Pagés, Cartaya, you know, maybe even Dustin May, as crazy as it sounds.
I think the best way that I can personally answer this question is I'm just looking at it on my computer right now. On July 24th, I tweeted, I'm going to be an emotional wreck if the Dodgers trade Gavin Lux within the next 10 years. So that tells you how I feel about it, because I've loved this guy since they drafted him out of high school, out of Wisconsin. Made it a point to follow him throughout the minor leagues, was at his MLB debut. Like, I've been through the ringer with Gavin Lux.
You're his number one fan, bro.
I don't want him on another team.
What is the absolute ceiling for Gavin Lux?
So it's changed, because as we said, when he was coming up through the minor leagues and was player of the week in the minor league every year and was the Dodgers organizational minor league player of the year 2 years in a row, he was hitting home runs all the time, and it was a 32, 33 potential home run guy. And this year the power numbers just aren't there, but it's singles after single. Though, I mean, his on-base percentage is what, top five in the league?
Yeah, and he's hitting about 310.
Yeah, so, I mean he's it just depends. If the power comes back, he's gonna be a real
perennial all-star.
But
like, we'll the hit tool's there, the power, it's a little concerning. It's similar to like Alec Boehm of the Phillies, like a 6'5"
who's starting baseman to figure it out, by the way.
Yeah, but he it took him a little while to kind of get this. He's starting to get the power down, and his hit tool is really high, but it's kind of a similar situation. Like in the minors, like Jock Peterson in the minors was stealing 30 backs, right? Like it's that just, never came to fruition, but they have to adjust to the game. Exactly.
So do you not think that the upswing is that Gavin Lux is going to be able to adjust to that Dodger system as opposed to Juan Soto?
I mean, I think he's done a very good job of adjusting. He's top five in the league in on base percentage.
But come on,
a staple in this order. But I mean, he's not the player Juan Soto.
Yeah, Juan Soto is a generational talent. The reason why he's hitting 243 is because his lineup is garbage. He only has Josh Bell in the lineup. If he has a Dodgers lineup around him, he'll probably hit 290 by the end of the year.
And for what it's worth, Gavin Lux is 24, Juan Soto is 23.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like one. I mean, I think ageism's kind of like, because guys can play longer now, especially pitchers. But
no, but,
yeah,
my,
but
my
Juan Soto's a generational
more,
talent.
My point was
who's
more we're talking about Gavin Lux as a guy who's starting to find his footing in the league.
Versus Juan Soto is perennial all-star, World Series champion. Exactly.
Gotcha.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, age has nothing to do with it. They're a year apart. It's not like, again,
I was just talking about more what Juan Soto is at his age.
Gotcha.
And what Gavin Lux, it just, yeah.
Gotcha. Well, another person that probably just needs no introduction, Mr. Shohei Ohtani. He dominated again last night, finishing with a 6 innings pitched, 11 strikeouts, and no walks. But, guys, the Angels still fell to the Rangers. God, they can't catch a break. 2-0, despite being electric at the mound and arguably the AL's best pitcher this season. Ohtani went 0-4 at the plate, and his average went down to .254. On the other hand, Judge hit his 39th home run of the season as a walk-off for the Yankees in a 1-0 win over the Kansas City Royals. With the Yankees poised to win the division and Judge having about pretty much 40 homers before August 1st, it's going to happen. Is he running away with the MVP, and does Ohtani have any shot to redeem himself at the plate?
Judge is the MVP. I know a couple weeks ago, Jake and I were like, you know, Ohtani's maybe the MVP. And then because Ohtani was just, he was ridiculous at the plate and on the mound. And now it's kind of just the mound. He's struggling at the plate. Judge is having the best offensive season we've seen in like 15 years so far. Like, I mean, you got to give the guy the MVP. You got to. And Ohtani can't hit at the plate anymore. He's pulling out. He can't, he's just not, he's not there. He's not that guy at the plate this year. And you know, it is what it is. He's having a down year. At least he's dominant on the mound and good enough at the plate that, you know, he's still the best asset in the league with Juan Soto. But Judge is the MVP. If we're talking about this, like, I love the story too, how a 30-year-old turning down $300 million because he thinks he's worth more. And he's proving that he is, and he will get more money. And, you know, it might only be valuable on the first 5 years of his 10-year contract that he's going to sign, or 8-year contract, but you got to do it. I mean, this guy's the best player in baseball by far this year. It's not close. And if the Yankees win the World Series, it's going to be because of Aaron Judge. I mean, they had no offense last night until Judge hit that home run. His wins above replacement is remarkable. Obviously, Ohtani's will be more probably by the end of the year because he pitches and hits. But if we're looking at just pure AL MVP, Aaron Judge. And if you want to look at Cy Young, I think that's something that Shohei can win for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Shohei, he's not having a terrible year at the plate. It's just in comparison to what he did last year.
Well, last year's second half wasn't great.
The bat has dropped off a little bit. But okay, so this year, Juan Soto, okay?
Yeah.
243, 20 home runs, 45 RBIs, slugging 480.
Yep.
Shohei Ohtani, 21 home runs, hitting 254, 59 RBIs, slugging 486. So the numbers are very
and his OPS plus is top 15 too. Like Ohtani, like I'm saying, he's good. I'm just saying, like, second half of last year, all he did is hit home runs and strike out.
Yeah,
right? Like,
I don't think it's close, because if Ohtani wasn't doing what he's doing on the mound, if he hasn't, because he's what, six straight starts of double digit strikeouts.
I mean, he's insane. He's unhittable, you know?
He's doing, like, I know, I don't want Major League Baseball to set the precedent that just because he's a two-way player that he's going to win the MVP every year.
Because then no one else can win the MVP.
But we may never see this ever again, right? Like,
yeah,
he is a generational talent. Like, there will be other two-way stars in the league. I promise you none of them are going to be as good as Ohtani is. He's so good. There was a stat that his, in the last, like, since, like, 45 years, with runners in scoring position, when he's on the mound, the opposing slugging percentage against him is the lowest since, like, 1965.
Well, did you see that game?
And as a hitter, it's the highest. Like,
yeah.
He's doing things we've never seen.
He might be the greatest player of all time when he retires, like, talent-wise, you know?
I think it's going to be really hard not to give Judge the MVP if he hits 60 home runs. There's, like a kind of, like, a weird threshold there. Like, if he hits 59, it's, like, great year. If he hits 60, people lose their minds.
Well, because who's the last person that hit 60 home runs, right?
I have no idea.
Well, you don't say Bonds. Bonds isn't real, really. So it's like Roger Maris,
that's
right?
That's a conversation you don't want to have with me. The Bonds.
Why? Oh, come on, bro. He was juicing.
Let's have a conversation.
Let's not some real home runs.
Let's move.
Muscles were popping out of his dang neck.
Best player of all time.
Let's move on because I'm not. I don't want to get in this conversation. We'll do it off air because I agree with Jake.
He should be in the Hall of Fame. Just he's not the best player of all time.
He's the best player of all time.
Wrong.
Okay, we can keep going for days probably on that. But let's move forward to Justin Herbert, who has had one of the best career trajectories of any quarterback in the history of the NFL. What are your expectations, guys, for him this upcoming season? Where does he rank in fantasy football quarterback rankings? And will the Chargers win the AFC West?
So I'll start on this one. I love Justin Herbert. I think his career trajectory might be the best of all time if we really look at the numbers. Quickest to all the, like, you know, 60 touchdowns, 10,000 passing yards, like, almost, right? Like, it's insane how good he's played. And he's going to have an even better season this year. I rank him as the number two quarterback in fantasy football before Mahomes and after Allen, because his offense is electric. Like, Mahomes will have a great year, but he doesn't have the pieces on the offensive end that Justin Herbert has for the Chargers. And I think Herbert's probably, if we're looking at MVP, it's like to start the year, it's Josh Allen 1 and Herbert 2 for like MVP, right? If the Chargers win the division, there's a really good chance he wins the MVP. And I think you got to take him in the second or third round in fantasy. I think that high. Like, it's insane how good he is, right? Like, I know GA is looking at me like, I would never draft a quarterback in the first three rounds. It's possible you can get like a...
Unless you're on auto draft or something like that.
No. Like, but like I get the argument. I was opposed to ever drafting a quarterback. Like, I took Brady last year in the 9th round. You can get Derek Carr this year in the 6th round. He'll be an MVP candidate, right? Like,
I was about to say, like, because everybody else isn't going to draft a quarterback in the 3rd. So
you don't know that. Grant last year won our fantasy files, like our podcast football league, because he drafted Josh Allen in the 1st round. It's insane. Insane.
I mean, I auto-drafted Patrick Mahomes in the 1st round, but that was just because it was an auto-draft. It wasn't because I wanted to draft him.
Why were you auto-drafting? What were you doing?
No, it was... I couldn't get into the...
Well, who are you going to draft? Nick Chubb? Like, that is a good pick. No, picking Mahomes.
I wanted a running back in the very beginning. So, like, but...
But you don't need one. The depth at the running back position is really the best it's been in years this year.
This year. I'm just saying last year, that's what I wanted.
But I'm saying, like, Herbert, someone is going to take him in the 2nd or 3rd round. I'm just telling you right now.
And I don't think it's a terrible decision either.
Exactly, because he's going to have a huge year.
It's not a bad decision. I just think that you could get him later.
And by the way, the Chargers are winning the AFC West.
I mean, I think that's bold, but go on.
No, I mean, I love Justin Herbert. I've been all over him since he was at Oregon. I was a huge fan of him there, and I like that he's in LA because I can somewhat root for him because I don't...
Why not somewhat? Be a Chargers fan and a Rams fan, bro. They're both in LA. I love the Chargers because I'm a Niners fan. I hate the Rams.
What happened to loyalty, bro?
No, Rams.
I don't like the Rams. They're a rival, but I love the Chargers.
Rams-Chargers is more like Dodgers-Angels where it's like separate divisions.
Than Lakers-Clippers.
And less like a USC, UCLA, or a Lakers-Clippers where they're So I feel like it's not terrible to somewhat follow them and keep up with them.
Yeah, because a lot of Dodgers fans don't hate the Angels, you know?
No, I don't hate the Angels, no. But I fully agree with you. He's the second number two quarterback in fantasy this year behind Josh Allen. I mean, just because, I mean, he's just going to throw the ball all over.
He might have 50 touchdowns, dude.
I was going to say throw for a record number of touchdowns. So, I mean, I don't think you can go wrong taking Herbert wherever you see fit.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm curious I mean, we only have a few seconds here, but MVP chances for Herbert?
100%. I think
absolutely.
1,000%. He's the second guy right now on betting, I'm sure. If we look up the stats, like, he's got to be behind Josh Allen as the second guy.
Okay, well, I mean, I think we're all kind of in agreement right there. Armand, what do you think about his MVP chances?
Yeah, I didn't look at the odds before, but I was going to say, yeah.
I have the odds really quickly. 1, Josh Allen plus 700, Mahomes plus 800, Brady 850, Rodgers 900, Herbert 1,000.
Oh, that's a great bet. His fifth?
Yeah.
He should be second.
That's great. Well, let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we will be talking to NBC's own Michael Duarte when we come back on the Mighty 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Vegas, the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, and the Sports Map Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mighty 1090 ESPN Radio.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. With two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas. Play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still clown with the underground
when we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mighty 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, and the Sports Map Radio Network. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment or just want to win tickets to an upcoming game in LA, Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline at 310-400-0340. Again, that number is 310-400-0340. We also have an email address, guys, for all those that still believe in email. It is arashmarkazishow@gmail.com. That is all lowercase, arashmarkazishow @gmail.com. Okay, let's go to the Circa Sports guest hotline. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor Pro Football Contest with 12 million in guaranteed prizes are back. Visit circasports.com for details. And here he is. It's our good friend, Mr. Michael Duarte. Michael, how are you doing?
Gee, hey, I am good. Call me Ice Cube because today's going to be a good day. And you might ask why. It is Pac-12 Media Day, which always signifies the start of the college football season for me. But moreover, we get to finally ask questions of USC and UCLA about joining the Big Ten. So I am excited for today.
Yeah, I mean, sticking with that topic right there, the AP poll, AP News came out that USC is not even ranked in the top 25. How do you feel about that since Oregon and San Diego State have made that list?
I saw that as well. I think, you know, how many times have we seen this poll? Arash would say the same thing, and USC ends up in the top 10 or the top 15, especially in recent years, only by like week three or four to be off the top 25 altogether. I'm not too surprised because really this team hasn't been able to prove it on the field, and most of the time those AP polls are based on the results of the previous season and which guys are returning. In this case, with the new transfer portal rules and the NIL deals, USC completely has revamped that entire team and roster and coaching staff. So let's let it see what it's like before they get any ranks.
Michael, we're 4 days out now from the MLB trade deadline. And I know a lot of the talk has been about Juan Soto and guys like Luis Castillo, but there's some other maybe lesser known bats that could make an impact, guys. Maybe like a Brandon Drury. I saw the Dodgers have been linked to JD Martinez. Are there any guys that maybe aren't getting as much publicity that the Dodgers could land in the next coming days?
One thing I want to point out about our conversation on this show last week, I incorrectly, when we were talking about the new 22 MLB postseason format, said there were no buys. That was a previous manifestation of a deal that the players and the players union talked about. There are actually two buys, so I was incorrect, for the top two teams. So in this case, the Yankees and the Houston Astros would have a bye if the playoffs started today in the American League, and the Dodgers and the Mets would have a bye in the National League. And then the seeds 3, 4, 5, 6 would play in a wild card format, two games, and then they would then the bye teams would then face those winners in the NLDS. So I just wanted to correct that mistake by me. But yes, with the the MLB trade deadline on August 2nd is coming up this Tuesday. The Dodgers have actually been in contact with many teams out there, potentially for a right-handed bat that they could plug immediately into the DH spot. This tells me that maybe they're not 100% convinced that Max Muncy is going to be in the everyday lineup moving forward with the way he's been struggling throughout this season. So Garrett Cooper, the Miami Marlins all-star, they've had talks with him, phone calls about him. JD Martinez is another guy you mentioned. Juan Soto is another guy you mentioned. But that's still not their priority. I still believe one way or another they'll end up with a reliever or two. They have reached out to some teams as far as relief pitching is concerned to see who might be available. No real big names right now. I think they feel like their bullpen, once it gets healthy, is still going to be elite. It still has one of the best ERAs in all of baseball. But there have been talk about some relievers to kind of plug some holes here while there's some guys on the injured list.
Hey, Michael, I wanted to ask you about Justin Herbert having the fifth odds to win MVP, fifth best, after Mahomes, after Brady, after Rodgers. Jake and I in the previous segment said he should have the second behind Josh Allen just because of his career trajectory, the fact that he could have 50 touchdowns next season, and the Chargers possibly being able to win the division. I know Staley has to coach better down the stretch, especially against teams in that division. So what do you think about that, Michael? Do you think Herbert is a sleeper to win MVP, or should he be the second in odds over Brady, over Rodgers?
BetOnline.ag has Justin Herbert as the favorite to win the 2022 regular season MVP.
Oh, wow.
And he wasn't the favorite starting after the Super Bowl. He wasn't the favorite in March. But by the end of May and into the summer, he has been the favorite ahead of Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. So it just depends on, I guess, which odds makers you look at. So I wouldn't be surprised if he exceeds expectations, as people think this year, takes the rise here now in his junior campaign, gets the Chargers in the playoffs, and continues his growth and maturation and on that upward trajectory. that, yeah, he should be in the top five for the MVP. And like I said, it just depends on which odds you look at, because I've seen him number one on multiple sites for MVP favorite.
What were the odds that BetOnline gave you guys? I'm just 11, curious.
11-2 is what I have for him as MVP, with Josh Allen at 6-1, Mahomes 9-1, Burrow 11-1, Aaron Rodgers 14-1, Tom Brady 14-1.
You know, it would be a wild MVP bet. Tell me if I'm wrong, Michael. Our Niners, Trey Lance, probably like awful odds. No, think about it. Lewis Riddick, I don't agree with Lewis Riddick saying that he's a long shot to win MVP. I think Lance is going to struggle his first year. He'll be good, but he'll struggle like in the first couple games for sure. But I do think Lance is a future NFL superstar. I really do. I think he's the truth. However, the odds there, Michael, I'm sure they're like plus, 10,000 or something crazy like that. Would you take that bet just because the Niners might be a good football team, like a really good football team?
I got him in front of me. So NFL future odds for MVP. This is now coming from a different odds maker, sportsbetting.ag. Also has Herbert number one, by the way, a plus 550. But Trey Lance is only plus 3,300. So not 10,000. Guys like Christian McCaffrey, Carson Wentz, Debo Samuel, I know you're a Niner guy there, but are plus 10,000. But Trey Lance only plus 3,300. So I guess they don't see it out of the realm of possibility as you do. It is a good sleeper pick. If you're a Niners homer. But like we talked about every time on this show, to me, the Niners are only going to be as good as Debo Samuel and his. Right now, he's staying out of training camp because of contract situation. So that's a question mark that they need to resolve. At least we know he's going to remain in the red and gold. So that's a good sign. We now know Trey Lance is the quarterback. I think we all assume that. But what is the situation with Jimmy Garoppolo? Are they going to cut him before week one? Are they going to be able to trade him? Are they going to be able to find a team that actually wants him? Because it seems like as the weeks go on here in the NFL offseason, more and more teams come off the list that would have been interested in Jimmy Garoppolo. So once all these question marks, I think, get answered with the Niners and we kind of see what the team's going to be entering the regular season, then I feel more comfortable about knowing what they do. I still think they're a playoff team regardless with Trey Lance. I just don't know if I can put them up there you know, without having these questions answered.
Michael, I want to circle back around to the MLB really quickly. The Angels supposedly, reportedly, are listening to offers on Shohei Ohtani. Is there any world in which he gets moved, in which in Angels ownership okays an Ohtani deal? And if he were to get moved, is that how much bigger is that package than a Juan Soto package has to be?
Yeah, that's a great question. It has to be bigger, in my opinion. And people are talking, at least I spoke to Scott Boras over the All-Star game week here. And he was saying that it would take arguably four of your top 20 prospects to get a guy like Juan Soto. So if that's the case, then what's it going to take to get a Shohei Ohtani? Four on each side, because arguably he's Soto at the plate and, a Cy Young Award winner on the mound. So what it would take to get Shohei Ohtani just would be mind-boggling to me. Do I think he gets traded? Absolutely not. I think him and Mike Trout, again, are untouchable. We've talked about this before. I heard that Perry Mathiasen is going to listen to absolutely everybody who they get a phone call about. And I guess you have to in that situation with where the Angels are at and the fact that, you know, Shohei Ohtani is a unrestricted free agent coming up here before the 2024 season. So really, you know, he only has 1 year left, so you kind of got to listen to what these offers may be. But I don't think he gets moved at all. I don't think Trout gets moved at all. I don't think Thor gets moved at all. I think it's going to be some of the fringe guys, like I said, that are either free agents at the end of the year or guys that they know they can move on from, that they may make some small minor moves. Because I really think in order to keep Shohei Ohtani on the Angels long term, which is the goal, they are going to not want to trade huge pieces that are part of their core, but trade smaller pieces that they'll probably lose anyways, and then try to keep that core together and continue to build off of it each offseason as they've slowly been doing, albeit without any results to show for it. I also don't think Soto gets moved. You know, I thought probably he was going to get moved. It sounded like he was going to get moved. Scott Boris made it sound like he was going to get moved. But the more and more time goes on, I think if he does get moved, it might be this offseason or this time next season at the deadline. I just don't think any team is going to want to bid what it's going to take right now, especially from what I'm hearing the Nationals have been offering to go get a Juan Soto. But a team to look out for are teams in the NL West who are coming for the Dodgers. The San Diego Padres had multiple scouts at Dodger Stadium when the Dodgers and Nationals played this most recent weekend series. And the San Francisco Giants also had scouts there looking at Shohei Ohtani. So those are two teams within the division that the Dodgers have to look out for that could pick up Juan Soto. So there was that. And I don't, like I said, I don't think Ohtani gets moved.
Michael, the LA Kings announced that on February 11th, 2023, not only will they retire Dustin Brown's number, they will be unveiling a statue outside of Crypto.com Arena. I love Dustin Brown as much as the next guy. His jersey's hanging in my room, but I was a little surprised when I saw the statue unveiling along with the jersey retirement. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a very controversial topic that I've seen debated. We actually debated it on NBC on Going Rogan recently. That'll be airing this Sunday, Saturday and Sunday. It was a topic that we talked about here. I've seen people argue for both. And hear me out here. I'm not going to say that, look, Dustin, there's two hockey statues for the LA Kings in Star Plaza at the building formerly known as Staples Center, now known as Crypto.com. And that is Wayne Gretzky, the GOAT when it comes to hockey in the NHL. And Luke Robitaille, a Hall of Famer, an all-time Kings legend. And the argument people make for Dustin Brown is, well, he did what those two guys didn't do in a Kings uniform. Obviously, he was a captain for almost a decade, 8 years, I believe, wearing the C on his chest. Won two Stanley Cups, something that Gretzky or Robitaille couldn't do in their time there. And his numbers show that, and he's also a fan favorite. But to my argument, too, whether or not you want to argue how important he was to the Kings, whether or not you want to argue, you know, he's probably not going to be a Hall of Famer like the other guys. My argument is if you set precedent that guys who won two cups with the Kings in the 12 and 14, and I if you want to retire his jersey, I'm for it. That's fine. But to build him a statue outside Star Plaza and put him next to Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Shaquille O'Neal, Jerry West, eventually Kobe Bryant, Wayne Gretzky, as we just mentioned, and Luke Robitaille, it just seems like he won't fit. And if you then build him a statue, you're setting a precedent that Anze Kopitar is going to need a statue when he eventually retires. Drew Doughty is going to need a statue when he retires. And Jonathan Quick's going to need a statue when he retires. Because I don't see how you can justify giving Dustin Brown a statue and not those three guys as well. Especially Jonathan Quick, who I argue was more important in those cup runs than Dustin Brown was. And there's some other guys you could maybe even argue for as well. But those other three guys would need statues if you're going to give Dustin Brown a statue. And the other thing is over on the other side, not in Star Plaza, but where you enter off of like where the players park and over further down closer to like Lot C, as you're walking up towards Crypto.com Arena and that little side entrance there on Chick Hearn Court, there's, I don't know if you call it a statue, but like a mural for all of the Kings players over time. And I believe Dustin Brown holding the cup is like the last thing made in bronze there. So he's kind of also already been statuified, if that's a word. So now to get an entire one all to himself also seems odd to me.
Michael, in segment one, we were discussing Shohei Ohtani and his all-time greatness. And then the topic of Barry Bonds came up, and we wanted to get your thoughts because, Jake, I don't want to misspeak for you. You called Barry Bonds.
I think he's the best hitter of all time.
Best hitter of all time. So, Michael, without, you know, getting too controversial, we wanted to pick your brain.
Brandon doesn't agree with me.
Yes.
Just so you're aware.
where do you have Bonds ranked historically?
See, look, for me, I had an opportunity to put in votes for different organizations, including the IBWWA for Hall of Fame. And I couldn't put Bonds and Clemens and McGuire and these guys from the steroid era in the Hall of Fame. And that's simply because, not that I don't think they're deserving, I just think that the actual Cooperstown, based on what they've sent us as voters to vote for the Hall of Fame, put these people in, because it's not just about what they did on the field. It's about things they did off the field and that nature. And I believe it is on the Cooperstown Baseball Hall of Fame to create a section for these players so that the story of the game is told correctly and that these guys can also be in the Hall of Fame, or change the way we're supposed to vote based on what you've sent us. Seeing Barry Bonds before he bulked up and before, you know, the Balco controversy, I would have easily said he's probably one of the greatest hitters of all time. I would have easily said he's the greatest power hitter of all time, one of the greatest home run hitters, maybe one of the greatest lefty hitters of all time. But he chose to do something and made choices to do something that at the time were not allowed. And so I have a hard time giving him that mantle now, knowing what we know. And now especially seeing what Shohei Ohtani can do from, you know, both sides of the game, from the mound as well, from the pitching standpoint. No, I don't put him, I think Barry Bonds is a better hitter than Shohei Ohtani. I will say that. But Barry Bonds couldn't go out there and throw 100 miles per hour and strike guys out like Shohei Ohtani can do and, you know, win Cy Young awards and things like that. So to me, Shohei Ohtani might arguably, when it's all said and done, end up being the better baseball player.
Yeah, Michael, last question here. We only have a minute and 45 seconds here. I wanted to ask you about Barry Bonds in the sense, like, okay, here are my thoughts on it. I know it's a follow-up question. I do think he deserves to be in. I don't think he's the best player of all time. I do think he deserves to be in because Pudge is in, right? Bagwell's in. Those are guys that took steroids. I know it's not confirmed, which is why they're in. But Ortiz probably took steroids too. Albert Pujols probably took steroids. I mean, this is speculation, but there are rumors definitely. And those guys are going to get in, right? So I know you mentioned the Cooperstown thing and that's why, but do you ever see Bonds getting in? No, right? Because it's the vote's over?
No, from the writers, possibly from his peers. I don't know. That's a good question, you know, and I debate that argument as well. Mike Piazza, there's rumors about Mike Piazza. He's in. There are guys that are in that are rumored to be in. David Ortiz, I believe, was on a list, never verified or whatever, never had a positive test. And obviously he was in on first ballot, the only guy who got in recently. But it's a little bit different because we know Bonds did, and then we know Bonds denied it. We know a guy went to jail for Bonds because of it. It's a lot more layered in that. And Bonds kind of had this, I don't give an F attitude about the whole thing as well. And so the criteria for Hall of Fame, when they give it to us, it is about how you carry yourself off the field. It is about your legacy off the field as well, the integrity of the game. They write this in what we're supposed to vote for. And so when you take those things into consideration, not just performance on the field or how good this player was, it's hard to do that unless, like I said, and this is what I believe, because I believe he should be in the Hall of Fame, but I believe that the Hall of Fame has the responsibility of telling the game's stories, and that you can't tell the story of baseball and the steroid era without Barry Bonds. And so he needs to be in there for that, but you need to dedicate a wing or whatever you're going to do to explain that so that people 100 years from now just don't see his plaque in bronze and not know all of the off-the-field stuff as well. And that's with all the other players that you mentioned. And it's funny because I wrote a story about the current most hated player in baseball. It's on NBCLA.com from a few weeks ago. And Manny Machado was voted the current most hated player in all of Major League Baseball, which shouldn't surprise a whole lot of people, especially with his attitude, especially how he's been with Dodger fans. But they actually asked the question, okay, take away current players. It could be anybody over time. And Barry Bonds was number one, the most hated player who's ever played baseball, followed by Roger Clemens. I think that's interesting when you take that into account, too, that you know, fans of the sport, because of the way he acted, his actions, have made him the most hated and most, you know, vilified, I guess, in some ways. You can look at it like that. So that's something that I believe is something that needs to be taken into consideration and thought about by a lot of people. And the sad thing for Bonds himself, if you just took his Pirates career, he had the numbers to be a Hall of Famer just on the Pirates career before he even went to the Giants and bulked up and started hitting home runs at the pace he was doing. And the fact that you know, the walks that he had, the intentional walks, the records he broke, all of that tells me he should be in there. I just need it to be explained better when you're telling this story 100 years from now.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Michael. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do this again on Monday. Until then, guys, this is the Arash Markazi Show saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.